Good morning, commissioners, staff, members of the public. I'd like to call this meeting to order. I'd like to start off with the roll. Staff, could you please call?
Commissioner Blank. Commissioner Mercurimi. Commissioner Schellenberger. Commissioner Stone. Commissioner Zanzi.
Here.
Vice Chair Sanchez.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Staff, could you go over any changes to the agenda, please?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, commissioners. Changes today on page 13, item 12A, the City of Monterey Harbor District dredging application, we're recommending be moved to the consent calendar. And item 19A on page 15, the SeaWorld application, also recommending move to consent.
Thank you.
Briefly for those members of the public who are here today that may wish to speak to an item, you do need to fill out a speaker slip and indicate which item you are speaking to and whether you're in support or opposition to the staff recommendation. And in addition, if you have a cell phone or other electronic device that might interrupt the meeting, if you could put it into a silent mode or turn it off, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you, staff. Next item is item 3, general public comment. You will have up to 3 minutes to speak. We'll have Commissioner Schellenberger do the timer, if she will. And so as you hear your name, please come up to the podium. Please state your name and spell your last name, if you would. First person will be David Pierce, followed by Ellen Shively, followed by Ken Hendricks.
David Pierce, San Diego Council of Divers. I have a video to show. Again, this is a children's pool in La Jolla. This is what happens when you go in water with these lovely creatures. All divers like the seals. This is one of the reasons why I personally like to dive here. Anyways, back in 1930, Ellen Browning Scripps donated $70,000 after she got the permission from the city, state, and federal governments to build the seawall for a safe place for children to swim. The state of California entered that into trust forever. Not 80 years, but forever. As a safe place for children to swim. In the mid-90s, the city of San Diego tried to come up with a seal rock reserve. The commission should probably know about that. They stopped that in 2001. In order for this seal rock reserve, they needed a number of seals. Mayor Golding got SeaWorld with permission from the National Marine Fisheries to start releasing all the rehab seals in and around Seal Rock and La Jolla and off the children's pool beach too. We have documentation from the Freedom of Information Act that proves that. We can provide that information if need be. That was also testified in court by SeaWorld, subpoenaed during the Sullivan versus San Diego lawsuit of breach of trust. Basically, the seals preferred the sandy beach than the rocks. These seals are no longer afraid of humans. Their last meal before being released were by humans. We just want to be able to share the beach. We don't want any further closures. So we basically Yellowstone these seals just so we can get up close and look at them. Do we really care about the welfare of these seals? That we want them to lose their natural behavior so we can get up close and look at them? Grab a mass snorkel fins, jump in the water. They're wonderful creatures. But to domesticate them, so to speak, on a public beach, is that really safe for them? We entered this beach into trust, the only man-made beach in all of California for a safe place for children to swim. That's why the state governments, the courts, all the way to the Supreme Court, the state of California said this is a bad idea. But it's all emotions and politics. We're exploiting these seals just so some organizations can make a buck off them. I'd say let's keep them wild and safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Ellen Shively, followed by Ken Henricks and Marie Henricks.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just an observation. I hope the gentleman who just showed you that video understands that he was in violation of federal law. The Marine Mammal Protection Act does not allow that kind of interaction with the marine mammals. That's harassment.
Thank you, staff.
It's cute.
Those were my thoughts. Thank you.
That's not true.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Excuse me.
Hello, commissioners. Good morning. My name is Ellen Shively, S-H-I-V-E-L-Y.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I was characterized as a liar before you. I would like to make a statement about that. The statement that I made was that a six-day-old pup was not seen on the beach. That was based on three observations of mine, three different days, several hours each day. Again, yesterday, I went back there. The pup did come up on the beach for just short intervals of time. None of us are on the beach all the time. The ranger isn't there all the time. The alleged docent program that is approved by the city council has not yet materialized. I get 3 seconds.
Forgot to make that announcement.
So there's not observation of those seals at all times. But that's not why I came today. I just wanted to make that clear. I came because you heard yesterday that the Planning Commission overturned the City Council decision about a year-round rope. So I call the City Council representative in San Diego. I call the Coastal Commission representative in San Diego, and he said that you only hear projects that have been approved. And I have a question about that. There was a motion by the City Council to put a rope up year-round. It was appealed. It went to a hearing officer who confirmed that decision. That was appealed. It went to the Planning Commission, who turned it down. If it can't go to the Coastal Commission, that leaves the rope advocates going back to the City Council. Why is it that you only hear approved projects? If a project is good, but it has been disapproved by a lower group than the City Council, then it should be heard at the Coastal Commission, since you have responsibility for decisions on the coast. And I just question why you do not hear disapproved projects as well as approved projects.
Thank you.
Might just point out that under the law, denials at the local level can only be appealed by the applicant, but it's not. This is not a situation that allows appeals under the statute to the Coastal Commission where they denied this particular project at the local level.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas. Ken Henricks, followed by Marie Henricks, followed by John Lee.
Some slides. Thank you. My name is Ken Henricks. I wanted to clarify something I heard at the after the conclusion of yesterday's extended morning public comment period. One of the objectives of the Coastal Commission is to protect habitat for endangered species, and harbor seals are in no way endangered, threatened, or at risk in California or in La Jolla. A member of this commission made these statements to counter something he heard and objected to during the public comment period. He also excused bad behavior as a free speech issue. That statement made after the public comment period was inappropriate and contrary to the goal of allowing all members of the public to have their say on issues without being rebutted by the person who should be facilitating the discussion and not injecting their own opinion. Such comments allow a public official in a position of authority and with unlimited time not afforded to the public to influence the discussion and reduce the public's right to have input into the discussions and decisions made by the Coastal Commission. Next slide, please. Oops. You were told yesterday the first harbor seal born this year on February 3rd, had not been seen on the beach, and Ms. Shively referenced that again this morning. Perhaps she's not being there at the right time or not looking often enough, but this is a photo of that seal. This was 2 days after its birth. Over the weekend, it was seen multiple times up on the beach. It's quite dramatic to claim that the pup is somehow endangered by human activity at the children's pool, but the facts don't support that biased theory. This new pup has 4 to 5 weeks to learn how to be a harbor seal before it is weaned by its mother and is on its own. There's a lot to learn in that short time, and most of that learning occurs in the water and not on the beach. Children's Pool has an artificially created beach because of the construction of a donated seawall. The purpose of the Children's Pool is obvious, to provide a safe bathing pool for the children of San Diego. The original intent for the pool has been distorted and disregarded by some members of this commission and the politicians at the San Diego City Council to the detriment of the intended beneficiaries of the Children's Pool Trust. The people of San Diego are having their heritage taken from them, and this commission, in a prior decision, ignored the mission to protect and enhance the public's right to convenient access to the coast. The approval of a rope barrier across 97% of a public beach with a small 3-foot opening is proof of that fact. Next slide, please. There we go. I cannot know what was in your heart when you decided to exclude the children from their birthright heritage to use their pool. I can only ask that you reconsider your choices, which continue the debate after more than 10 years of community conflict. The purpose of the children's pool is clear and unambiguous. I'm sorry?
Please complete your comments.
I'm sorry?
Please complete your comments.
Okay. You must preserve the people's right to use this man-made pool if the city of San Diego's permit application to close this beach comes before you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Marie Hendricks, followed by John Leek. Shannon Player.
Good morning. Marie Hendricks, San Diego, presenting a video.
Step away. Over on the far end. No seals here.
Women, it's better if you don't just get right in front of the little guy. Let him do its thing.
Not really. She's not looking for her baby. No. They've already kicked all their baby seals away. They've already told them to go run around. That's how that worked.
Not better of it, did he? You missed. He came all the way up to the people just like that one the other day when you and I were here, except no pup with him.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to call Pamela Bensusan next, council member for the city of Chula Vista, and then John Leek.
Hi, I just came to welcome you all to the fair city of Chula Vista, and thank you very much for your vote on wetlands mitigation for the South Bay. And I just want to make myself available to you after your meeting today if any of you have not yet seen our bayfront and would like an opportunity to have a guided tour of the bayfront. You can let me know. I'll leave my contact information with your clerk here. So welcome again to Chula Vista, and hope to see you back here again soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Councilmember Bensusan, for making it possible for us to meet here in Chula Vista. Thank you. John Leek, followed by Shannon Player, Joshua Collington.
And I have a PowerPoint coming up. Okay, why are we here? What are we talking about? A done deal, like a rope across the beach that's already set in forever. It's because we know what's coming next. Two lawsuits have already been launched. Second one's still in place to make that rope forever, 365 days a year, in defiance of previous Coastal Commission decisions that were made 10 years ago. We want the Coastal Act to determine how public access works. We want to respectfully and lawfully go on a public beach without harassment by vigilantes. That's why we come to you. We got good news. The seals are saved. They're protected by state and federal law, cannot be moved. A balance has been struck between the needs of tourists who want to look at seals and public access per the Coastal Act. It's shared use. It's worked for years. A full-time ranger is about to start. She'll be implementing a docent presence to inform the public how to share the beach responsibly with our seals. Your temporary annual advisory rope barrier across the beach is in place. It functions to remind the public of the proper distance from which to view seals. That's one of the terms in it. To create a buffer between people and seals. That's one of the terms. To allow access to the beach. That's one of the terms of the permit. It teaches seals that people have self-imposed limits and so are harmless. That's a side effect. And emboldened activists to believe you would close the beach for them. That's why they've launched lawsuits. Like I said, it reminds the public of the proper distance, which is the distance that doesn't scare a seal. That's it. They're doing that. It creates a buffer. It varies between 50 feet and 5 feet. Works fine. This is shared use. The rope is doing its job. It allows vertical access to the shore. That's what the Coastal Act requires. It teaches seals that people have self-imposed limits, so they need not fear us. And there they are. But finally, the triumph of getting a public trusted beach cordoned off to create an animal viewing area was followed by lawsuits to force the city to come back to you for more. You have a printout of the lobbyist permit that started all this. It's dated back in March, before you even got a chance to vote on a rope across the beach, and it spells it out, what they want and what they're still trying for, and will if there's lawsuits and lobbying will continue, you'll be forced to ask, shall we make this year-round? Shall we close the stairs on the beach? There is a permit posted at Children's Pool right now. The city is supposed to get a permit, ask you for a permit to close the stairs to that beach all winter long with a barricade. So from permitted sales tables, these activists yell at the people the rope is illegal, is a legal closure. It's a source of behavior problems.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Shannon Player.
Good morning. I just want to inform you that there is a dedicated group in La Jolla whose sole mission is to get rid of the seals.
Could you please state your name and spell your last name?
Shannon Player.
Thank you.
So there is a group in La Jolla whose sole mission is to get rid of the seals. They have stepped up their harassment in the past year incredibly. Now that it's pupping season, they are, their tactics are there. The policy of shared use doesn't work. Keep in mind, these are marine mammals. They are protected by the Marine Mammal Protection Act. As you can see from the rope barrier film, the seals don't know where the rope is. They go all over the beach. It's a very small beach. There's no place on that beach where people can be that they are not violating the Marine Mammal Protection Act. This beach needs to be closed. It's to the public permanently. It should be a marine mammal park preserve. It is in this trust now that it that can be part of the use or that can be a considered use for the beach. It's a travesty. It's a national embarrassment what's happening here. There are people harassing seals. I mean, even during pupping season, they don't care. There were two men playing Frisbee the other day by the waterline. I mean, the seals won't come in if there are people on the beach. That's it. Anything you do that causes the seals, any activity which has the potential to disturb marine mammals is against the law. Everything that this group does, which is disguising themselves as shared use or public access advocates, it's against the law. That's all there is to it. The federal law is the law, and no one is enforcing it at Casa Beach right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Joshua Cullington. State your name.
Morning. My name is Joshua Cullington. Since taking an initial position on this issue, I have struggled with whether or not it has been the right one. The wall was constructed around the children's pool for the express purpose of creating an area that was absent of strong currents so that children could play in the beach. That was in 1931. As things have evolved, we've discovered that not only children prefer a tranquil habitat, however, wild animals do as well, namely the seals. To facilitate their mating season, an advisory rope barrier is already in place between December and May. Their rope barrier, this rope barrier, because it is only advisory, does not inhibit the safe crossing by people that desire to share the space with the animals. In doing so, other laws, including the Marine Mammal Protection Act, regulate the interaction between the people and the seals. In the spirit of protecting the sanctity of a trust agreement that has resulted in a space that is loved by both people and animals alike, let's learn to share. The existing rope serves a useful purpose during a necessary period of time. Beyond, and even during that time, people are expected to conduct themselves respectfully and thus cohabitate with the animals. In the event that people do not engage their common sense, other laws are in existence to address such conduct and to restore order. Please concur with the ruling of the Planning Commission to maintain the rope barrier from December to May and for everyone to engage their common sense at all times. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I also have a request, appears to be from Animal Protection and Rescue League. Is that for public comment? Okay, no one here for that. Thank you. Staff, next item.
Thank you. That brings us to the North Central Coast District and the Deputy Director's report for this month. We have two emergency permits to report that were issued recently, and one of these is in the city of Pacifica for a large shoreline protection device that we've reported on before. They do have an emergency situation and are proceeding to construct that, but as I mentioned last month, I would anticipate seeing that come forward to you for a regular review sometime later this year, hopefully by the summer. And that's all that's in this deputy report, the two emergencies.
Thank you. And the next item?
So that would bring us to items 6A, 7A, and 7B.
I apologize. Any objection to concurrence with the executive director's determination? Seeing none, then the commission concurs with the executive director's determination.
So there is a PowerPoint for these items, and I will be doing a consolidated combined staff report, and you do have a combined staff recommendation in your packet. So these items are 6A, 7A, and 7B, and they all concern the same projects that were approved by San Mateo County. The projects at issue are two categorical exclusions for two single-family homes in Montera, and this slide shows you the general project location. They are on in an existing residential area within the urban services line north of Half Moon Bay. And continuing on north from here would be the city of Pacifica and on up to San Francisco. As I mentioned, the project is two categorical exclusion determinations issued by the County of San Mateo County for these two single-family homes. And the two items that are consolidated in these in the staff recommendation are two separate actions. One is a dispute resolution action between the Coastal Commission and San Mateo County, and the other is an appeal that has been filed by numerous appellants, including the Committee for Green Foothills, Monterra Neighbors for Responsible Building, and various other interested parties. So you have two separate actions being addressed on two categorical exclusion decisions for two single-family homes. And there are three separate motions that will need to be addressed at the end of this presentation or at the end of this hearing, and I will refer to those later. But in summary, staff is recommending, with respect to the dispute resolution, that the commission find that it was not appropriate to issue a categorical exclusion for these projects in this case. And with respect to the appeal, we are recommending that you find substantial issue, and then during the review of that categorical exclusion, that you deny that categorical exclusion. So getting into the details, if you go to the next slide, please. This is an aerial view of the project site. Again, you can see it's within an existing residential area. That's Highway 1 to the upper right corner of the slide. And again, Half Moon Bay is down towards the left, down towards Half Moon Bay. So the project involves the proposed design review and construction of two single-family homes on this property. Both homes are approximately 2,500 square feet with detached garages. And the County of San Mateo issued a categorical exclusion from coastal development permitting requirements for both of these houses. Within the in the county, there is a categorical exclusion that has been adopted by this commission, and it does provide for the exclusion from coastal permitting requirements for certain non-appealable single-family home development, such as this, if that development is on legal lots and if it's not appealable. So the bottom line of the recommendations that are in front of you today is that we don't think that this development that's been approved by the county is excluded, and there are basically three reasons for that. And each of these reasons are also raised by the appellants in the appeal portion of this item. The first reason is that we do not believe that there are existing legal lots here that would provide for this categorical exclusion to take place. There are four 2,500-square-foot parcels in this 10,000-square-foot property from a 1907 antiquated subdivision. And based on recent case law that is discussed in the staff report and also in the county materials, the appearance of those lots on that antiquated subdivision is not sufficient, in our view, to establish the lot legality. And this is also a position that the county has taken in the process of this review. So the first reason that we would disagree with the categorical exclusion decision is that we do not believe that there are legal lots here for these two single-family homes. The homes would be placed on 5,000 square feet lot each, which is what the applicant believes is the nature of the property. But again, the county has not recognized the legality of those lots and is currently in a dispute with the applicant about the legality of those lots. So if the lots are not legal, they cannot be categorically excluded pursuant to the exclusion that was adopted by this commission. The second reason that we don't believe the exclusion should have been issued is that because there are not legal, separate legal lots here, this is two single-family homes on one lot, which does not consist of a principally permitted use, and therefore it's an appealable project under the LCP, and therefore it cannot be excluded. Finally, the third reason is that there is strong evidence in the record that this project is within 100 feet of a wetland, and that would also therefore constitute an appealable project and therefore could not be categorically excluded. So there's significant and substantial detail in the staff recommendation and the exhibits, and there's also a letter from the county concerning the staff recommendation. There's a letter from the applicant, and there's also the appeal materials in the record. I can go into more of those details later if there are questions about the procedural history here, as well as some of the details on why we do not think it's excluded. But I did want to emphasize two things. One is that the actions in front of you today are issues under the Coastal Act. You're being asked whether a categorical exclusion from coastal permitting requirements is appropriate here, and also whether the appeal that was filed by interested parties raises a substantial issue with respect to that issue of the categorical exclusion. This is not about, this is not about the design review approval of the county for the houses themselves. It is only about that procedural coastal permit requirement. As distinct from that, there is an ongoing dispute between the applicant and the county under the Subdivision Map Act about the legality of the lots, and that is not in front of you today. And we do not think that your actions here today are in any way affect that ongoing action and vice versa. Now, the second thing I wanted to point out, and the county's letter in the record emphasizes this, is that the county is in a bit of a difficult spot here. They've been litigating. They were basically ordered by the trial court to move forward with the design review of these projects, and so that's what they have done. At the same time, they categorically excluded the development from the typical permit review that's required, which is why we're here today. I would point out that the county acknowledges the lot legality question in its own exclusion notice by saying the projects are excluded except for in as much as lot legality issues are raised. So they have essentially acknowledged, and their materials that we have in the file also recognize that they do not believe there's two legal lots here at this time. And that conflict is proceeding in a separate forum. So that's the overview of the project and our recommendation. And again, there are three motions beginning on page 3, and we can return to those later.
Thank you. I'd like to first go to the commissioners and ask if there are any ex parte communications to report. To my right, seeing none. To my left, seeing none. I have one request to speak. By Catherine Slater Carter, is this an appropriate time to have public comment? Open the public hearing?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe she's one of the appellants.
Thank you. Good morning, commissioners. I'm Catherine Slater Carter, and I am here as an appellant. I am also on the Montero.
I apologize. How much time do you need?
Just 2 minutes. I'm going to be very brief. Thank you. I support staff. This is a very serious issue for our community. I do want to say first, I'm president of the Montero Water and Sanitary District. I've been there for 16 years, and I'm speaking as an individual today. In any event, I think staff has done an excellent analysis, and I would please ask you to make the findings and the vote that staff recommends. This is a small community, and having the county with its rapid turnover in staff, as often happens, miss what is appealable and the environmental issues that are involved in these things is something that needs to be checked. And this is one that is a perfect case in point. Staff did an excellent job on their analysis, and I thank them and would recommend that you vote with staff. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm going to close the public comment period for this hearing. And staff, do you have anything else to add?
Nope, available for questions.
Okay, thank you. Then I'll go to commissioners. Commissioner McAreemy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the commission reject the executive director's determination that the single-family residence is approved by San Mateo County in PLN 1999-00215 -2-SMC-00-320 and PLN 1999-00015-2-SMC-04-2080 8 require a coastal development permit and that any action by the county authorizing the single-family residences is appealable to the Coastal Commission and ask for a no vote.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Schellenberger. Would you like to speak to your motion?
I'll wait till we complete the motions.
Okay. Commissioner Schellenberger?
No, thank you.
Thank you. The Commissioner McRemy is asking for a no vote. Failure of this motion result in the Commission upholding the Executive Director's determination that the single-family residences approved by San Mateo County in PLN 1999-00215-2-SMC-00-320 and PLN 1999-00152-SMC-04-208 are subject to the coastal development permit requirements of the Coastal Act and that any action by San Mateo County authorizing single-family residences is appealable to the Coastal Commission and the adoption of the following resolution and findings. Majority vote of the commissioners present is required to pass the motion. Is there any objection to unanimous no vote? Seeing none, the commission, by adoption of the findings, determines consistent with Section 13369 of Title 14 of the California Code of Regulations that the single-family residences approved by San Mateo County require a coastal development permit and that any action by the county authorizing single-family residences is appealable to the Coastal Commission.
Madam Chair, at this point, with respect to the substantial issue item, unless three or more commissioners would like to discuss substantial issue, you will have found substantial issue and could continue to the third motion.
Thank you. Are there three or more commissioners that would like to hear the substantial issue question? Seeing none, the commission does find substantial issue. Commissioner McRemy?
Motion two or motion three?
Motion number three now.
That's what I thought. Thank you. I move that the commission approve claim of exemption number A-2-SMC-11-001 and A-2-SMC-11-003 for the development proposed by the applicant and ask for a no vote.
Is there a motion by Commissioner McRemy, second by Commissioner Schellenberger? Any other commissioners like to speak? Excuse me. Commissioner McRemy, would you like to speak to your motion?
I just would like to say that I'm familiar with these properties slightly south of San Francisco. I think the staff did an excellent job in capturing what needs to be followed on. I look forward to the de novo review, and I look forward to us following through in this corrective action. So I very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner Schellenberger.
Only to say that I think that staff did a very thorough job in the staff report, and it, I think they've covered it all, and they got it right this time.
Thank you. So the maker of the motion is recommending a no vote. Failure of this motion will result in denial of the claim of exemption and adoption of the resolutions and findings. The motion passes only by affirmative vote of a majority of the commissioners present. Any opposition to unanimous no vote? Seeing none, the commission hereby denies the claim of exemption for the proposed development on the ground that the development is not exempt from the permitting requirements of the Coastal Act and certified LCP. Next item.
Thank you. That brings us to the Central Coast District, and I have four waivers to report in that report for your concurrence. I'm not aware of any objections to those items.
Thank you. Any objection to concurrence with Executive Director's determination? Seeing none, the Commission concurs.
Item 10 is the consent calendar for Central Coast, and earlier today we recommended moving item 12A, the Monterey Harbor dredging permit, to the consent calendar. And again, I'm not aware of any opposition to that.
Thank you. Do I have a motion? Commissioner Mitchell? Thank you, Commissioner. A motion by Commissioner Mitchell, second by Commissioner Schellenberger. Any opposition to unanimous vote? Seeing none, the commission
Approves the consent approves calendar.
Approves the consent calendar, excuse me. Thank you. Next item?
Thank you. 11A, there is a short PowerPoint for this item as well. This is an LCP amendment in the city of Capitola concerning an affordable housing overlay. Next slide, please. You can see the property in question outlined in white there. The proposed amendment in front of you would add Chapter 1720 to the implementation plan that would include standards for affordable housing in an overlay district to allow for increased densities of up to 20 units per acre in return for the provision of a minimum of 50% affordable units. The proposed amendment text provides definitions of affordability. It defines allowable uses in the overlay district. It describes development incentives for affordability, requires that affordable units remain affordable for at least 55 years, and requires that specific findings be made to ensure that any affordable housing project is consistent with the provisions of the LCP, including with respect to the LCP's sensitive habitat, view shed, public recreational access, and open space protections. The proposed amendment also requires consistency with Coastal Act Section 30604F regarding encouraging the affordable housing in the coastal zone and requires consistency with Government Code Section 65915, which provides standards and requirements pertaining to affordable housing density bonuses. The city also proposes to change the land use designation for an existing multifamily residential development, and that's the property highlighted here. From low, medium, 5 to 10 units an acre to residential high, 10 to 20 units per acre, and to amend the zoning map to apply the affordable housing overlay district that would be adopted to this property. The site is currently developed with multifamily residential uses and is located within an urbanized area that is also served by public infrastructure, including public transportation. The site is located on the inland side of Park Avenue, which is just above all those trees you see there, and it does not affect views to and along the shoreline. Increased density on this site will not affect views towards the sea. The inland site also does not provide for or is not appropriate for public access trails or accessways to the ocean. There is no sensitive habitat on the site. Given all of the above, the site is appropriate for a change in land use designation from medium density to high density. Applying higher infill densities, including for affordable housing in areas where there are adequate public services and good transportation options, and where such densities do not otherwise result in coastal resource problems, such as here, is a good example in staff's view of good smart growth principles and helps to direct development to areas that can accommodate it, consistent with the goals of the Coastal Act. The Affordable Housing Overlay District does not require a landowner to develop affordable housing on a particular site and does not place any requirements or restrictions on the current uses of the site. Some of you may remember that the Coastal Commission approved last year with modifications this LCP amendment. Due to procedural issues, the city was not able to accept those modifications in time, so they've now incorporated those modifications into this submittal, which is why today we are recommending that you approve as submitted the Affordable Housing Overlay District, as well as the change in the land use plan. That concludes the staff presentation.
Thank you, staff. I'd like to go to the commissioners and ask if there are any ex-party communications to report. To my right? No. To my left? Yes, Commissioner Stone?
Thank you. I just wanted to point out some correspondence that I received and a discussion that I had with Ann Wilson. We met on the 4th of this month at 8:30 over coffee, and she gave me a document, and we talked about the petition that had been presented to this commission the last time that it was forward, that it was here. There's a group of neighbors, folks in Capitola, who remain concerned about this overlay, and the petition that they'd sent highlighted the areas of concern, negative impact on the existing single-family residential area, which is adjacent to this, and because of the increase in density there, the lack of sidewalks, lack of adequate parking, distances from major convenience, increased water demand, increased traffic, loss of privacy, and they feel an actual decrease in the affordable housing over the existing units that are available now, so they are urging us to deny the commission. That was the extent of my ex parte.
Thank you. This would be the time to go to public comment, and I have no speaker slips. So, staff, do you have anything else to add? Perhaps address the
further.
Comments by Commissioner Stone?
Nothing further at this time.
Thank you. Okay. Yes. Commissioner McReamy?
Thank you. I just had a question through the chair to staff. I think it's slightly refreshing to see an LCP amendment like this. I've been clamoring since being on this commission, why don't we see more of these kind of initiatives by coastal cities, and wish that we actually had some of the authority to compel it. Could you just refresh my memory, our memory, what other cities have overlays like this? Do we know how many on the top of your head?
I don't really know total how many. We do see them in other jurisdictions. In particular, in recent years, and including in Santa Cruz County, there's been an increase in designating affordable housing overlays in areas where affordable housing might be appropriate in the future, partly in response to HCD and state mandates to provide for affordable housing. So we are seeing more of these amendments. In general, as I mentioned in the presentation, we have a policy to encourage affordable housing, but as you suggest, we don't really have a mandatory policy to require it. We used to have that policy, you know, decades ago, but it was amended out of the Coastal Act.
And then I'm curious, when these kind of amendments come to us, what about the companion effects, such as one of the letters that Commissioner Stone had read, when it speaks to infrastructure, when it speaks to increased impact on resources, water, others? Does that then also trigger any of our concern, or is that considered to be really in sort of on a tangent?
But no, that is basically the heart of our concerns with these types of proposals, because we, even though we support and encourage affordable housing, we also want to make sure that there's adequate infrastructure, that any impacts to public access or other sensitive coastal resources are addressed. So that was essentially the nature of the modifications that we recommended a year ago and that the city has now incorporated. So if and when a project came forward on this site, and I'm not aware that there's one pending, but if one came forward, it would be required to meet all of the policies of the LCP, including those that might address traffic, circulation, parking, anything like that, services, adequacy of water, wastewater.
And then is it possible in the future that we could at least get some kind of roster as to what cities do provide overlays like this? I'm not aware of, not one since I've been on the commission, the density bonus for a trade-off of 50% affordability. That's substantial. And I'm curious if others are in that league.
We can follow up and see what we've done in recent years. I'm aware that we've done a number of density bonuses. I just don't have the number off the top of my head.
But with the trade-off of affordability of a 50%?
Yeah, I believe we've done some with it, with the affordable trade-off, but I'll confirm that. A lot of the density bonuses are more waivers of other typical requirements like setbacks or height requirements.
Or in lieu of.
Right.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We are at Commissioner deliberations. There are two motions required. Next is Commissioner Stone.
Thank you. Just to address what Commissioner Mirkarimi brought up, a lot of that activity is going on. It's not necessarily going on in the coastal zone. For example, in Santa Cruz County, as was referenced, there were a number of rezonings for higher density aimed at essentially 100% affordable housing. And that's one of the things that's going on here. This is in response to HCD requiring the rezonings, and the rezonings do not necessarily guarantee or lead to an increase in affordable housing, really just the opportunity to. And the piece that concerns me, and what's, I think, underlying the concerns of some of the neighbors, is jurisdictions under the pressures of putting these overlays in or designating for affordable housing may or may not at the zoning point have done the analysis of the impacts of the density or what that represents. And so, Dr. Lesser, you mentioned in there that any project that comes forward would necessarily address those issues. This is a very busy street, and the goals of putting affordable housing in where there are, for example, good transit resources that are within walking distance or biking distance, but yet when they're put on a street that is the challenge that Park Avenue has, how do we, or at what point is it appropriate to really be raising those questions and making sure that not only is it an appropriate affordable project, which this commission would certainly welcome and be supportive of, and especially along this stretch, there certainly are some advantages to having more affordable housing along this stretch, but yet there are also other places in the city that have better access to transit, better access to amenities, and to be able to address that balance. But then, so my question really is at what point is it appropriate to weigh in to ensure that the city is looking at all of those impacts on behalf of its citizenry for a particular project that might happen? I mean, would this be an appropriate stage, or would we be more inclined to look at it when it comes back with a particular project?
I think staff feels that this is that we've dealt with it appropriately at this stage. Sometimes with land use plan changes, we will address more specifically potential land use impacts and concerns when the actual designation is being changed, like in this case with an affordable overlay. However, given that it is an existing area and there are public services available, although granted there may be issues on this specific street when you increase the densities, we feel that this is an adequate level of assessment of those at this time, but we would fully expect that all of those issues are addressed and are required to be addressed when any development went forward under the LCP, and that would include requirements to address traffic and circulation. There's specific language about streets and making sure that any necessary dedications and improvements are made to address the capacity issues that may be raised, for example, by the densities, and as well as a general requirement in the LCP to make sure that the project conforms with the character of the area. So we would fully expect all those to be addressed at that time.
All right, thank you.
Commissioner Allgood?
Just a comment. I think the staff's done an excellent job here. I also believe it's very important to prioritize low-income housing where we can get it, and I sort of regret with my other commissioners that we have no real say over it. But I did notice when you were talking about the considerations going forward for infrastructure and traffic and parking, I'd really like to hear the word transit before parking. I think in the time I've been on the commission, we have overemphasized parking in urban circumstances, dense circumstances, to a degree that's no longer acceptable, I think, in California. So I just would add that I'd like to hear more about the transit aspects.
Okay, we concur. Yes, and one of those standards includes public transportation points and improvements.
Commissioner Bloom.
Yeah, let me just quickly add bicycle access and good pedestrian circulation to that list.
Thank you. Do I have a motion? Commissioner Schellenberger?
I move the Commission certify Land Use Plan Amendment Number CAP-1-10 Part 2 as submitted by the City of Capitola and ask for a no vote. A yes vote.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Oh, the motion below.
Motion by Commissioner Schellenberger, second by Commissioner Allgood. Any other comments by commissioners? The maker of the motion is recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the land use plan amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolutions and findings. Is there any objection to unanimous yes vote? Seeing none, the commission hereby certifies land use plan amendment number CAP-1-10 part 2 as submitted by the City of Capitola and adopts the findings on the grounds that the amendment conforms to the policies of Chapter 3 of the Coastal Act. Second moment, motion.
I move the commission reject implementation plan amendment number CAP 2023-1-10, Part 2, as submitted by the City of Capitola. And this time I do ask for a no vote. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion by Commissioner Schallenberger, second by Commissioner Allgood. Failure of this motion will result in certification of the implementation plan amendment as submitted and the adoption of the following of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Is there any objection to unanimous vote of no by the commission? Seeing none, the commission hereby certifies implementation plan amendment number CAP-1-10, part 2, as submitted by the City of Capitola and adopts the findings set forth in staff report. Staff?
Thank you. That brings us to item 11B, which is also in the City of Capitola and an LCP amendment concerning residential development in the Community Commercial District. There's also a PowerPoint for this item. The City of Capitola is proposing to amend its LCP to allow residential mixed-use development in the Community Commercial Zoning District as a conditional use and secondary to the primary commercial use. Again, you may recall the Commission reviewed a previous version of this proposed amendment at its meeting in January 2010, and at that time the Commission continued the hearing primarily due to concerns about a lack of detail and specificity regarding the proposed mixed-use regulations. And you expressed concern that the proposed amendment at that time did not ensure that residential use in the commercial zoning district would be subordinate to the primary retail uses allowed in that district. The city has subsequently withdrawn the amendment and resubmitted it now with better specificity to address those concerns. Slide two, please. So the area in black is the area of concern, and that is the coastal commercial zoning district in the city's coastal zone. And you can see it's a very limited area right here. And it's located along 41st Avenue, which is a major commercial arterial heading from Highway 1. Well, this is not working, but Highway 1 down towards the ocean. 41st Avenue is the city's primary commercial corridor, and it's a regional commercial destination. The CC district is fully developed now with a variety of commercial buildings and businesses. And you can see that this black area, the district in the coastal zone, is at least a one-third of a mile from the ocean. The proposed amendment would allow for consideration of certain mixed use, for example, multifamily residential and commercial projects along this portion of 41st Avenue. Since the previous hearing on this amendment, the city has developed more specific criteria to address the commission's concerns, including in collaboration with the commission staff. Based on this effort, they have resubmitted a revised amendment with additional language that adds specificity to ensure that mixed-use development is thoughtfully considered and will not lead to an inappropriate loss of commercial development in the CC district. And our primary concern is typically visitor-serving commercial development along the coastal zone. The city's new submittal limits potential residential use to multifamily units that are clearly subordinate to underlying commercial uses. It includes measures to ensure that first-floor uses in the commercial zoning district are limited to commercial uses only, and that commercial uses are emphasized through the use of architectural elements, first-floor ceiling heights, and adequate separation between commercial and multifamily residential uses. The city's objective is to provide for some flexibility in terms of maintaining this mixed use or considering a mixed use, but is premised primarily on maintaining the 41st Avenue corridor as the robust commercial core for the city and the region. Staff believes that the amendment will result in increased live-work opportunities that are associated with smart growth principles, for example, easy accessibility to public transit, clustered urban development, and so on, and that the city's revised language addresses the Commission's previously expressed concerns regarding the potential for such mixed-use projects to result in a conversion from commercial to residential uses. Therefore, staff is recommending approval of the amendment as submitted.
Thank you, staff. I'll go to the commissioners and ask if there are any ex parte communications to report. To my right, seeing none. To my left, thank you. No ex parte communications. I'll open and close the public comment period as I have no speaker slips. Go back to staff, see if staff has any additional comments.
Nothing further.
Thank you. Commissioner Stone.
Thank you. I move that the Commission reject implementation plan amendment number CAP-1-10 part 3 as submitted by the City of Capitola, and I'm asking for a no vote.
Motion by Commissioner Stone, second by Commissioner McCarimi. Any other comments by commissioners? Okay, the maker of the motion and second is recommending a no vote. Failure of the motion will result in certification of the implementation plan amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolutions and findings. Any opposition to unanimous no vote? Seeing none, the Commission hereby certifies implementation plan amendment number CAP-1-10, part 3, as submitted by the City of Capitola and adopts the findings set forth. Staff?
That would bring us to 11C, which is an action on Santa Cruz County LCP Amendment SCO 2-10 Part 1, a time extension, and staff is recommending that the Commission extend the time for our review of this for up to 1 year.
Thank you. Any ex parte communications on this item? Seeing none, there are no requests to speak. Do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that the Commission extend the time limit to act on Santa Cruz County Local Coastal Program Amendment Numbers 2-10, Parts 1, 2, and 3 to March 4th, 2012, and Part 4 to February 15th, 2012, and recommend a yes vote.
Motion by Commissioner Stone, second by Commissioner McGreamy, recommending a yes vote. Any opposition to a unanimous yes vote? See none. I apologize. Commissioner Stone, would you like to speak to your motion? Commissioner McCarimi? Thank you. Thanks for the catch. Thanks for the comments. Any opposition to a unanimous yes vote? See none. There is a new deadline for Commission action on each of these proposed LCP amendments.
Thank you. And that would bring us to item 13A, which is also a time extension. And this is for a public works plan 8-09 from the Soquel Union Elementary School District. And again, staff is needing additional time to review this and is moving that the Commission extend the time to February 14th, 2012. And that motion is on page 2.
Thank you. Any ex parte communications to report? To my on my right, on my left, no ex parte communications to report. I do have 3 requests to speak on this request for extension, motion for extension of, and they are Sandra Wallace, Judd Jordan, and Kathleen Howard, superintendents of Soquel Union Elementary District. Did you want to speak? You are?
I'm Judd Jordan, Madam Chairman. And no, we don't really need to speak as long as it's going to be continued. We're just here out of an abundance of caution and also to become familiar with the way you operate. We anticipate this will come on in April, as I understand it. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for attending. Okay, close the public comment period on this. And so, any objection to finding to a yes vote? Oh, sorry, skip the motion. A motion by Commissioner Stone.
Thank you. I move that the Commission extend the 60-day time limit to act on the Soquel Union Elementary School District's PWP to February 14th, 2012, and ask for a yes vote.
Motion by Commissioner Stone, second by Commissioner McCarimi. Any objection to a unanimous yes vote? Seeing none, the matter is extended for six day time period to February 14th. Excuse me, to 2012. Next item.
Good morning, Commissioners. This brings us to the North Coast portion of today's agenda. And I do note that there were a couple of handouts that were distributed either at the hotel or this morning, including staff addendums on our two items, the item 16A Bradley appeal and item 17A, the Crescent City Harbor District application. I do have extra copies in case someone is missing those or would like one. The a couple of North Coast matters I just wanted to briefly report on before moving to the rest of the agenda. We learned this week that the City of Crescent City voted this week not to accept the suggested modifications that the Commission had adopted on the LCP update. Apparently, the concern centered around the issues that were of debate during the hearing regarding the sea level and tsunami policies that the Commission adopted, and also with regard to the rejection of certain changes of harbor changes from harbor development zoning designations to commercial. We're disappointed by that, but we will be working with the city to see if we can resolve these matters as quickly as possible so that the long out-of-date LCP can finally be updated and certified. The other item is just I wanted to mention at next month's meeting in March, the Commission will be holding a continued public hearing on the Samoa Town Plan amendment from Humboldt County, which was a major amendment that was heard first by the Commission at the October meeting. And the Commission continued that hearing at the request of the county and the developer. And so that will be on next time. There are no administrative items from the North Coast today, so I don't need to ask for your concurrence on any administrative matters. And I believe Director Douglas would like to make a comment.
Just to reiterate what I said yesterday in the context of the district director's report for South Central, so that the folks up north may hear as well. We were very disappointed in the action by the City of Crescent City in rejecting the Commission's modifications. And I was especially concerned about comments made that the rejection was in part in solidarity with Santa Barbara County's action to reject the Commission's suggested modifications in the name, I think, of reestablishing local control over land use. And that, again, is an unfortunate turn because state law for 35 years has been the Coastal Act, which sets forth what the responsibilities are for land use decisions in the coastal zone. And I think it's unfortunate when we try to turn the clock back rather than moving forward to address issues in a collaborative, cooperative way. Having said that, we certainly are going to work with the local government, with the city, to see whether we can't address concerns, legitimate concerns. We already tried to do that. Maybe we can't, and we have to wait until there's some change in attitude. But we're not going to give up on trying to get the LCP updated and modified. With that, we can go on with the North Coast agenda. Thank you, Madam Chair.
There is no consent calendar for the North Coast, so that brings us to item 16A, which is an appeal by Commissioners Stone and Sanchez of a decision by Mendocino County to grant a permit with conditions to Douglas and Barbara Bradley to install a groundwater intercept drain on a vacant parcel in a vacant rural residential parcel to prepare the site for testing associated with the design of an on-site disposal system for a potential future residence. And this is located off of Havens Neck Drive north of Anchor Bay on the southern Mendocino coast. As I noted, there is a staff addendum for this item, which contains correspondence from the applicant, and it also makes certain changes to the findings based in part on that correspondence. The project is designed to drain groundwater from a portion of this vacant parcel in order to create enough dry ground to allow a septic leach field to operate. The addendum in part makes corrections to the project description in the staff report, based on the correspondence and telephone calls from the applicant pointed out that although the project originally involved a intercept drain that would extend around three quarters of the site, the project, as it was finally approved by the county, only extends around about half of the site in the northeast corner. And the project, as approved by the county, is shown on Exhibit 4 of your staff report on page 2. The project, excuse me, page 1, the project that led the plan that led to the confusion is on page 1 of Exhibit 4. But the second one is the one to look at. Drain essentially consists of a perforated pipe that extends through a trench of gravel that stops about 100 feet from the mapped drainage course and wetland area. And then from that point on, a solid pipe would continue without the gravel into the drainage course itself and to the mapped northern Bishop Pine Forest. Since the solid drain pipe that's not perforated does extend into the same wetland and Esha area that we're concerned about, the changes don't result in a change in our recommendation for substantial issue. And the appeals, the contentions raised in the appeal regard the protection of wetlands and Esha. Appellants contend that because the groundwater intercept drains are not an allowable use in wetlands and within other forms of Esha, it's inconsistent with the LCP. Second contentions is that the county approved development that does not provide for the minimum 50-foot buffer that's required between development and Esha that might exist on the site. Thirdly, the county approved direct impacts to wetlands without any mitigation that replace the wetland areas affected by the drain. Fourth, the county failed to address in its findings why some areas that contain northern Bishop Pines were excluded from the mapped northern Bishop Pine Forest Esha. And for all those reasons, the appellants contend the project is inconsistent with the LCP. Staff is recommending that the commission find that all of these contentions raised in the appeal do raise a substantial issue under the LCP. So if three or more commissioners do wish to hear more about the substantial issue argument and take testimony from the public, I will present a more detailed presentation. Otherwise, that would conclude my remarks. And so after the commission's been given the opportunity to disclose any ex parte communications, we'd ask through the chair whether there are three or more commissioners who do wish to take testimony and vote on the substantial issue question.
Thank you, staff. Are there any ex-party communications to report to my right, to my left? I've seen none. Are there three or more commissioners that wish to hear substantial issue? Seeing none, the commission finds substantial issue, and the matter is continued to a de novo hearing at a later date.
That brings us to item 17A, which is the application of the Crescent City Harbor District for the proposed Crescent City Harbor Inner Boat Basin Rehabilitation Project. And this project involves rehabilitating in place the existing marina that suffered extensive damage from a tsunami in 2006. There is a staff addendum for this item as well, and the addendum makes certain changes to special condition number 2 of the staff recommendation. The first slide shown in the PowerPoint that's up shows the okay, if we could go back to the previous slide. Thank you. Okay, the pointer I can't get to work, but the Inner Harbor Basin is that marina on the far right center that kind of extends into the land area. And is, there you go. If we go up to the marina, there it is, the Inner Harbor. And in November of 2006, an 8.3 magnitude earthquake that occurred off the coast of Japan generated a tsunami that reached California shores and created a series of waves that measured up to 6 feet in height every 20 minutes for a period of 8 hours, which engulfed the harbor here at Crescent City, and it caused extensive damage to the docks and berthing system in that Inner Harbor Basin. The
The resultant damage is approximately $20 million worth. Interestingly enough, Crescent City was the only area that suffered significant damage from this tsunami on the West Coast. The tsunami event, in addition to damaging the piles and docks, also deposited approximately 8,000 cubic yards of additional silt within the Inner Harbor Basin, and also dislodged quite a bit of the rock silt protection around the borders of the basin itself. So the project, before you would rehabilitate in place the basin, and involve several main elements. First is the dredging of the accumulated sediment with disposal in the county, in the Harbor District's dredge spoil disposal pond, which is just to the north of the basin itself up on the slide. It would also involve replacing approximately 8,500 cubic yards of dislodged rock slope protection materials from the damaged portions of the revetment. It would involve completely replacing all 161 steel piles with steel and steel reinforced concrete piles that are somewhat larger in diameter. It involves installing a floating wave attenuator structure to help deflect incoming tsunami waves from future tsunami events, and it would involve removing and replacing all 1,035 floating dock segments with upgraded equivalents, as well as installing utilities and installing four new ADA-compliant gangways on shore. The project is not strictly a repair project, as it does involve the enlargement or addition of some improvements. I noted the piles becoming larger, but also it involves the installation of the floating wave attenuator structure, which is designed to deflect and reduce the energy of the waves. This attenuator consists of 11 36-foot by 16-foot wide and 7-foot deep buoyant concrete polymer structures that would float up and down with the tides. The attenuator design was based on an engineering study which determined that the marina entrance incurs much greater velocities of currents during during a tsunami event or other event than the rest of the marina. And incidentally, a separate paper that was recently produced by Dr. Lori Dengler of Humboldt State and Dr. Burak Uslu of NOAA found that the Inner Harbor boat basin was directly exposed to the exacerbated wave velocities from that tsunami, and this study provides additional confirmation that the wave attenuation effort is needed. The principal consideration for the commission in this project is whether the wetland fill policies of the Coastal Act are met. Staff clearly believes it is. The structural fill and the revetment that's being placed is for a coastal-dependent industrial commercial fishing facility and for public access and recreational boating. We also believe there's no less environmentally damaging feasible alternative to the development, and we believe that with the requirements of special conditions 1 through 12 to avoid significant adverse impacts on sensitive fish and wildlife species, water quality, biological communities, and general human activity, that the development will provide for mitigation, feasible mitigation measures to minimize adverse environmental effects consistent with Section 30233. The principal effect of concern is with regard to salmonid species. The harbor and Elk Creek, which flows into the harbor, is habitat for sensitive salmonid species. And the Harbor District produced several analyses and determined that the potential impacts on salmonid species would not be significant. Principal mitigation measures involve limiting the season of work to July through October 15th when the salmonid species are minimized. And that it also would involve using mainly vibratory installation of piles with only minimal pile driving. We've consulted with NOAA Fisheries, which is currently reviewing the project as part of a biological opinion, and they've indicated that with the mitigation measures and the design proposed by the Harbor District, and with the fact that the work would be contained within the enclosed basin, that they do not expect any significant effects on the threatened salmonid species. We do have a condition that would require that once the biological opinion is prepared, if there's any mitigation mitigation measures required by NOAA Fisheries that would cause changes to the project, that the applicant would have to come in for a coastal development permit amendment so that the commission could evaluate if the project needs to be changed to be found consistent with the Coastal Act. There is a staff addendum, as I noted, which makes changes to special condition number 2. This condition, as it was included in the staff recommendation, would limit all construction activities to the period of July 1 to October 15th and would require that all in-water construction be performed during low tide periods. We heard from the Harbor District, and as we reviewed the issue, we realized that the way we had crafted the condition is not what we had intended in making such absolute limits, and it's not what's being recommended by NOAA Fisheries staff and is unnecessary. So we're modifying the condition to do what we actually had intended, which is to limit the work in the construction window that we're talking about for in-water construction. In other words, allowing work on the upland areas to be conducted at any time of year, but any in-water work would be limited to that July 1 to October 15th window. And then also with respect to the limitation on working only at low tides, the condition is clarified to indicate that that refers only to the installation of the rock slope protection, which is the element of the project that creates the biggest sedimentation risk. And the other elements also would not be feasible to be contained within that low tide period. So in conclusion, we believe that the project is consistent with the Chapter 3 policies of the Coastal Act, and we recommend that the Commission adopt the staff recommendation as modified by the addendum. And the motion can be found on pages 6 and 7 of the report. Thank you.
Thank you, staff. At this time, I'd like to ask the commissioners if there are any ex-party communications to report. To my right, seeing none. To my left, seeing none. I'd like to open the public comment period at this time. And I have a slip from Richard Young, who is the applicant, and also Cleve Hardacre. Mr. Young, how much time do you need?
I'll be very brief. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity
to
speak.
3 minutes, 5 minutes?
3 to 5 minutes.
Let's say five.
Very brief. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Richard Young. I am the executive officer for the Crescent City Harbor District. In light of Director Douglas's comments earlier, I think I should point out that we are an independent political subdivision of the state of California. So this has been prepared by the Harbor District staff and our consultants. I'd like to explain to you how critical this project is for the Harbor District. This is our major marina in Crescent City. It is the place where all the commercial boats tie up. Without it, we can't really function as an effective harbor. It was damaged during a tsunami in 2006. It's taken us a long time to wend our way through the process of finding the funding to conduct this project and getting the environmental work done and to get to this point. So we're very happy to be here today. This is a major step forward for us in a critical project. I'd also like to say how much we appreciate the work that your staff on the North Coast did. Mr. Merrill and Mr. Baskin were very helpful in working through the complicated provisions of this project. It's a major project because it will involve replacing all the pilings in the harbor, replacing all the floats in the harbor. We will do several upgrades that are required by laws and codes that have changed since the days when the harbor was first built in the mid-70s. So this will be a major improvement to the harbor and a big step forward for our community. It'll be a much nicer facility when it's done, and it'll be a modern facility that will be resistant to tsunamis. That was a major consideration as we worked through this process because Crescent City does seem to be tsunami central for the west coast of the United States. So we believe that when it's done, it'll be a long-term successful addition to the local economy, supporting our fishing industry and supporting our community. So I'd like to say thank you to you and to your staff. We very much appreciate the responsiveness, the addendum that they did to clarify the issues. And we are certainly in agreement with the conditions as amended. And I'd be happy to answer any questions if anyone has some. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to call up Cleve. Is it Hardiger? You're with the Recreational Boaters of California?
That's correct. Cleve Hardiger with the Recreational Boaters of California. And on this topic, I'd like to say thank you very much to the staff for both the Crescent City recommendation as well as the Monterey Bay recommendation. In particular, I was very gratified to see that we have a 10-year ongoing maintenance dredging permit for Monterey Bay. That's quite enlightened. Recreational Boaters is very concerned primarily with safe navigation and safe harbors. And dredging issues are very important as far as we're concerned. So thank you very much for both the actions here, Monterey and Crescent City.
Thank you. I have no other speaker slips, so I'll close the public comment period and go back to staff.
I have no other comments, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Go to the commissioners for, yes, Commissioner Zanzi.
Madam Chair, I move that the Commission approve Coastal Development Permit number 110035 pursuant to the staff recommendations and request a yes vote.
Is there a second? Second by Commissioner Reese. Commissioner Zanzi, would you like to speak to your motion?
I, too, would like to commend staff for their work on this, bringing this project forward, bring this project forward so the interboat basin at Crescent City can be repaired from the 2006 tsunami damage. It's an important berthing area for both our resident commercial fishing fleet and those that visit the harbor. So once again, thank you, Mr. Merrill, and your staff.
Commissioner Reese.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have anything to add.
Thank you. Any other comments by commissioners? Seeing none, the maker of the motion and second are recommending a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in approval of the permit as condition adoption of the resolutions and findings. Any opposition to unanimous yes vote? Seeing none, commission hereby approves coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings as set forth. Thank you. Staff?
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Sanchez.
Final item?
Good morning, Commissioners. Item 18 are the items moved by staff from the regular calendar to the consent calendar. And we have recommend that the item 19A, 61085, the SeaWorld item, be moved to the consent calendar. This is a new roller coaster ride at SeaWorld. It's within the existing developed area of the park. It is consistent with the SeaWorld master plan, which has been reviewed and approved by the commission. The conditions are acceptable to the applicant. And we do have a SeaWorld interested parties list that notice of this item went to. With the exception of the gentleman that showed up at the hearing yesterday, we have not received any staff comment or any written adverse comments on this item. So therefore, we are recommending that it be approved on the consent calendar.
Thank you. Thank you, staff. And do we have any ex parties to report? Commissioner Blank?
Yes, Madam Chair. On February 7th at 9 a.m., I had a phone call from Susan McCabe and Ann Blumker and received a briefing on the project where they described the project, which included the construction of a new roller coaster and support structures. The attraction is contained within the existing park, won't exceed 30 feet, and is only marginally visible from outside the park. In addition, adequate on-site parking continues to be provided to serve the park. And the applicant said they were in agreement with the staff recommendations.
Thank you. Anyone else? Commissioner Zanzi?
I had one ex parte communication, and it's on file with the executive director.
Thank you, Commissioner Zanzi. Commissioner Allgood?
Yes, I had an identical conversation with Ms. McCabe on February 1st.
Identical conversation with Ms. McCabe on February 1st. That is identical to Commissioner Blank's February 1st in my offices.
Commissioner Bloom?
As did I on February 3rd in Santa Monica at 10:15 a.m.
Commissioner Schellenberger?
Mine was a similar conversation with the same person on February 7th at about 2:30 on the telephone.
Commissioner Mitchell?
January 31st, 3 p.m. Telephone conversation. Same content.
Commissioner Reese?
My telephone conversation.
Mike? Was on February 3rd at 2 p.m. with Susan McCabe and Ann Blunker, and the same conversation as reported by Commissioner Blank. Thank you. Motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Commissioner Schallenberger, second by Commissioner Allgood. Any opposition to a yes vote? To a unanimous yes vote. Seeing none, the item passes. And yes, staff?
That concludes the meeting.
And does council wish to speak?
Yes, Madam Chair. I just wanted to give the commissioners one more reminder before we go, because I know there's at least one commissioner who missed the first reminder. On a different day, Form 700s are due March 1st. That's different than for locally elected officials, where there is an April deadline at the local level. At the commission level, it's March 1st. Thank you.
Thank you, staff. Thank you, commissioners. The next meeting of the Coast Commission is March 9th in Santa Cruz County. This meeting is adjourned.